I hit record now, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, I just hit record now after my great exchange.
We should
I'm
make
not
this...
even ready to record yet.
No, you're not ready.
I've got my phone with my notes over there. Like, obviously, the show has started. Tell me what the matter is. Tell me what the matter is. Tell me, tell me, tell me what the matter is. Tell me what the matter is. Tell me what the matter is. Tell me, tell me, tell me what the matter is. I was going to, like, ask you all, like, before we started, if it's okay for me to do the Willem Dafoe movie pitch I want to do today. Because I do have one.
Oh, wow.
I have loads. I think we've said before that because this time feels more precious now because we don't do them as often as we did, I kind of don't want to waste them running my mouth about Willem Dafoe when I just want to sort of, like, poke you and prod you and bite you and, like, crawl around on you, Jonathan. And like, use you for sport.
Wow.
In a friendly way that we're all enjoying.
A friendly surviving the game style sport where the prey is released.
Like when they play crochet in Bedknobs and Broomsticks, you are like the little hedgehog ball.
I thought you were going to say Heathers, where they bury someone, if I remember correctly, up to their neck. And then croquet them with the croquet balls and sticks.
My husband loves Heathers. My husband fucking loves Heathers.
It's a movie for people. I love it. I grew up with it. But it's painful, too. It's painful and real. Yeah.
I've only ever seen I don't know if it's an amateur version or some stage version that's on YouTube in really bad quality. And I feel like it's the only way I ever want to see it. terrible thing. Anyway. Yeah, I wanted to talk about that pitch before we recorded because I wanted to know how okay you were. Because I think even by the standards of Boston's Favourite Son, the Willem Dafoe movie pitch should have a content warning.
And really? Wow.
It's grim. Like, it's gruesome. And I just wanted to, like, check beforehand how okay you are with lurid descriptions of animal corpses. I mean... grim, ranked. I wrote this down.
Wow.
This is block to this film. This is my magnus opus.
I mean, how can we not move forward knowing that it is your magnus opus?
Obviously, right? Something to look forward to. Jonathan Holmes, I would kill a man for you.
I don't want you to kill anybody.
You want me to do it? I will. But you I have to kill. I will look a man in his eyes. I will deliver Jonathan's surprise. I'm gonna do it. I have to do it for you. I will kill everyone. I will kill the world for you.
It's such a nightmare. It's stuff that happens. That man shot Ronald Reagan for Jodie Foster once, and
right.
Jodie Foster was like, "Don't do that." And she couldn't stop him. He just decided it was for her, and you could do whatever you want,
I'm
and then blame
to
me.
Kill them. You can't stop this shit. I'll kill them all, and I'll tell them you told me to do it.
Amusingly, they did make a musical about John Hinckley Jr.
Excellent.
Being in love with Jodie Foster and you know, attempting to assassinate Ronald Reagan. Yeah.
Wow.
It's called Assassins.
A musical?
Yeah.
Right?
Is that what people want to sing along to? The
ideas?
I think we should
remake that musical. That's what I'm saying. Mm. We should remake that musical. But because people like their media to be sort of a little bit meta now, a little bit self-referential, a little bit heightened, and they want to feel absorbed in the experience, we just kill people and sing.
In the name of Jonathan.
In the name of Jonathan. Or,
right.
Or at a push, we do it for Jodie, but we say it was Jonathan's idea. We'll say he indoctrinated us. And that'll get you famous, because... people know who Charles Manson is.
I was going to say, the indoctrinators often do more jail time. So it really is an effective way to dodge responsibility for your own crimes.
I mean, think about that, though. Yeah, like, for profit. Like, you do less, you do less work, but you get more jail time. Like, that's reaping the rewards.
And we have, like, 10 years of evidence.
What?
To indicate
no.
that there is an unhealthy obsession with you.
Oh, wait. I thought you were going to say that I was some sort of Manson-style mastermind.
Yeah,
10 years.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, quite clearly.
That this
yeah.
show is going to be used as evidence that I've manipulated you two.
As evidence that there is a cult of personality that you have built up around yourself. We've mentioned shrines several times.
You know, it's weird. I'll open up about my personal life. I don't normally do this.
I've been waiting for you to open up personally for a long, long time. Let me just get settled in.
My spouse and I recently decided to allow each other to date other people. I'm totally comfortable with
it. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. What? Right.
Yeah, and I'm not interested in dating anybody else.
Oh, I'm fucking piece of shit.
I'm so not horny. I just I don't care either way. I don't feel jealous. I just love people and want them to be happy. So I'm like poly-minded without caring about sex at all. So it's for me best of both worlds. For people who want to have sex with me, it's not always great, but that's where I'm at. And she's been telling her friend, she doesn't really care, she's not jumping out and going out to date, but she might. And she's telling her friends, yeah, I guess I might date, my husband says it's fine. And you know what their response was? I'm afraid he's starting a cult. And I was like, what? How is this me starting a cult? He's starting a cult. What? And she still hasn't told me what that... I was going to ask her today when she gets home from work, what does that mean? But yeah. She told me this like 2 days ago, and then we had to go do childcare or something. So,
thank you for letting us know how much easier our case is going to be.
I'm not starting a cult! My great-grandfather did start one. I think I've talked
to you
about that. I know. But I didn't.
We need to talk about that some more, because the blood of German kings flows through you, Jonathan. This is something we have failed to exploit, your German, your royal German lineage.
It's
a
weird.
Scion of the Bruderhof, if I recall correctly.
Good memory. Yeah, it's one of the many weird things about me. I talk to other people and I find out that they were never on a reality show. They were never potentially the prince of a cult. They don't have these background traits that I have. And I feel like, I don't know, I expect them to, I guess. Does that make me a snob? I don't know.
Well, it shows your privilege. I mean, you know, oh, this is all just normal for you.
Yeah, would that we all could, you know, come from royalty.
Sort of. I mean, they are. Did you watch the documentary on Channel 5 Chronicle, local news here in Massachusetts, where they interviewed the leader of the cult?
Oh, I never miss it.
How could you? They interviewed the leader of the cult. This was from the 80s, though. I don't think he's alive anymore. And they say, do you believe in democracy? And he just goes, no. he's so mean, and he's got attack dogs and guns. Yeah. He loves guns. He says, "What? I have a gun. So what? It's to shoot a bear, maybe. I don't know. That's what they told me to say on the license for bears." And they're like, "There are no bears in the vicinity. The man just loves Magnum handguns, like that." And he's in the part of a pacifist. He leads a pacifist religious cult, but he's packing heat like Dirty Harry.
Well, if everybody's got a gun,
only he has the gun. He's got the community gun.
That makes it even easier to keep people pacified.
Jonathan, why haven't you picked up the Magnum? I mean, the mantle. Why aren't you this guy now? Why aren't you Cyrus 2.0? Why aren't you the scion of the Bruderhof, yet the gun-toting pacifist, waving firearms around in the local Whole Foods, yelling, democracy is stupid, democracy is a moron. Don't worry about this, it's for bears, probably. Oh, why aren't you doing that?
It's a lot of work. You got to really convince them to. But like I said, other people think that's what I'm scheming, maybe. Some sort of
Jonathan,
cult move.
Here's the thing.
Yeah.
The people left who are still listening to this are out of their fucking minds. They are wrong. They are dangerous. I sometimes go to their houses. Get extraordinarily high with them. And find out how scary they are.
I was thinking about this when the allegation slash, I don't know, suggestion or even, it's almost a compliment to say you can start a cult. It's not easy.
Don't follow up me saying, oh, I went to some podcast fans' houses with, oh yeah, I heard about some allegations. There are none.
Allegations towards me, I mean, that I'm a cult starter. But I was thinking about how the whole Shattered thing started like a decade ago. I think you came up with the name, Steph.
Yeah, because they're all out of their fucking minds.
And they loved it. They said, yeah. Yes, we are the Shattered. We are broken, damaged, jagged, potentially dangerous to the touch. Yeah. And we love your show.
And then a couple years later, Jonathan, I changed their names to the stupid fucking dickheads, and they embraced that too. So what I'm saying is, oh, it's a lot of hard work. It takes a long time to build up a cult. It takes about 10 years, Jonathan, and you're already there. Everything's in place. Also, John and Martha are lovely. They're not incredibly scary.
No. I love Alba. I've never... I mean, the list goes on. The listeners are on my other podcast almost exclusively. I'd say 2/3 of our guests are just people who like this show. The editor of my other podcast, so many artists who have worked on like really good video games got started in part by listening to our show and meeting other people in the community, including like big name game developers. And they made friends and now make games together. Like, there's games you could look at on the Nintendo eShop right now that wouldn't have happened if it weren't for our show. So we did it. We're proud.
We are not responsible for that. No, don't put that.
Well,
on
I
us.
Mean the people
who yeah,
made it
don't
are,
blame
but
us.
We, what? If anything, I was self-aggrandizing a bit and saying that we...
There you go. Yes, there you go. Now we find the right focus for responsibility here. This is your...
It's bad now? I can't tell if I am responsible and or bad. I can't tell if either is
true.
Well,
we don't know how any of this is going to turn out, so I'm erring on the side of caution. This is your fault.
It's the MO that has kept Conrad alive for a long, long time.
I was going to say, right. Conrad is nothing if not a shrewd reader of the room and someone who can get in the safest space possible at any given time. Conrad's always been master of that. Me, on the other hand, ugh.
Jonathan?
Yeah?
When I die.
Oh.
Which, well, if I die before you, right?
Hope not.
I am going to have my downstairs mound shaved completely Billy Bald, right? And I'm going to have them put in an urn, my short and curlies, and I'm having them sent to you.
You're sending your pubic hairs to me.
I have chosen you to be my pubic heir, yes. It would be a great honor to me if you, Hibiscus the Hazel Boy, took charge of my squalid little bush.
Like, treated your pubic mound, your pubic hair mound, a mound
yeah,
of hair. Like...
It'll be in its own tiny little urn. Bear in mind, all of this was leading up to the punchline pubic hair, which we've already done. And we're developing the concept beyond that for no reason.
Well, it's
I'm
my
excited
fault.
To see where this goes, because I've got fuck all.
Well, the way you described it, it sounded like I would put the hair in short pants and like a little sailor suit, and it would be my heir, like my child.
Oh.
Like I would explain to people, this is my adopted child that's made of the reproductive stuff of Steph, but it's not a conventional child because it's just a hair child, is what I would say, I think.
Yeah, yeah. Pubic Percy.
just lead with pubic? I don't give him a real name. Just, it's just Pubic Percy, that's right.
Pubic Percy. Pubic Percy.
And I'm not sure referring to him as just a hair child is really all that healthy for their development.
No, that's true. Your son.
That's not what Batman said when he introduced Robin, or when Bruce Wayne said when he introduced Dick Grayson. It's just a circus orphan. You're right. It would be unkind. But I'm picturing that kind of relationship where me and Pubic Percy make a splash and change the world a little bit by showing that this is how it can be done.
By becoming a vigilante.
Oh.
I see.
No, not that part. That's very hard work, like the cult work. Very, very risky, difficult stuff.
Why?
Steph, I do feel like you're my child sometimes. I have an 8-year-old, as I think you know. He's 8
oh,
now.
Oh, yeah.
He will just go face to face suddenly and go, why? And I'm like, it's 5 in the morning. I'm trying to wake up. Why? Why? What are you doing right now? I'm asleep. Do it.
I mean, that is a valid question. Why are you trying to wake up? Have you looked around?
Yeah.
Stay in bed.
I was trying to stay in bed.
Honestly, Jonathan, at this point, I consider waking up to be an act of self-harm.
It is amazing how much worse things have gotten, isn't it? It's really...
Oh, for everyone.
Just daily bad for... There's people who have it good, but even they are really upset for some reason. And
I think people need to let it all out.
You think that's what it is?
I think they do. I think people have a lot of pent-up frustration and a lot of pent-up aggression, a lot of pent-up energy. Mm-hmm. And the only way they can get that out, let it all out, and make a splash, like you said earlier, is an underground fighting tournament that you hold and run.
Mm.
How about that? A bit like Bloodsport.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is more of a blood spurt. Introducing the Spermate. An underground and underpants fighting tournament with cum semen all on it, Jonathan. Only just loads of cum. What do you reckon about that? Do you want to do that? Do you want to do an underground fighting tournament but with like a load of old cum or not?
Like a sex tournament?
Yeah, like people just like mashing their knobs together, just like, I brick you like I brick your friend, like that.
I don't know how much of you would know better than me, Steph, how much wrestling gets sexy like that. Do the wrestlers ever...
Very little.
No, very it doesn't little. Seem like they get... It's the real opportunity, because you're generally an attractive group, you wrestlers. Well, you're good to look at. People love watching you fight. But you never get kissy-huggy, it seems like.
No.
But the audience, I think, is the impediment to that. Hmm. Because they're trying to draw a family crowd.
Oh.
And I'm trying to imagine you, like... Now in a ring with Steph, and what would inevitably have to happen under those circumstances in front of all of these children.
You see, it does become an issue, especially when we issue. You don't want that a wrestling show. To answer it seriously, before we get onto some things that I'm really going to enjoy raking you over the coals for, Jonathan.
Oh no, what did
I? Oh, don't worry about it. To answer it a bit seriously. I've been in a lot of places on this earth, a lot of locations. Of those places, I can tell you that the wrestling ring is one of the least sexy on fucking earth. And when I am in there, I think sex might be literally the furthest thing away from my mind. Even as, like, I could have, like, a face full of vag. And the last thing I want to think about is vag. Mostly I'm thinking, I need to get this fucking mask off. Why did the asthmatic decide to wrestle in a mask? Stupid bitch. Ow, my back.
I would have never guessed. You look so comfortable, so at home, in the ring, so confident, so capable.
Oh, I absolutely fucked that up. Christ all fucking mighty. I am so sweaty. This jumpsuit is going to have to peel off me. This is not sexy.
You look great in there. You're shining. Your bod is moving, healthy and strong. You're capable of so much. I could never do those moves, jeez. And you're wrestling some real cute folks now and again. But it doesn't, the pressure to perform in a specific athletic way gets in the way of any sort of comfortable intimacy, it sounds like. Sexy intimacy.
Anyway. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. The ring is the worst place for it. Wow. Yeah, so couple of other things.
Yes.
First of all, I am very concerned that you, Jonathan, and bear in mind, you already mentioned earlier in the show that there were allegations against you.
Of sorts, yeah.
Bit concerned that you, Jonathan, a man who, it has to be said, has been involved in wrestling before.
Sort of.
Told me that wrestling matches are a real opportunity to cop a feel.
That's what I said. I just wondered if romance ever blooms in the wrestling ring, because you're...
If love can bloom on a battlefield.
Yeah, you're in there having a very unique experience with other like-minded folks. You're sharing the very strange experience wrestling in front of other people, and I don't expect the sex and the sexual feelings to happen while you're wrestling. That would be unprofessional.
I fell for a wrestler once.
Yeah, that's more of what I
meant. I did, but, like, not in the ring.
No, not
someone
in the ring.
Like, travelled with and all of that. Like, didn't really go anywhere, but, like, you know, over him now, prick. Didn't really get on. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, people in wrestling date and everything like that. But, no, they're not doing... taking the real opportunity that you seem to think is presented towards little graspy hands.
Well, I didn't mean it in that sense, and it reminds
me... Well, I just think, Jonathan, that I'm a bit concerned for our match now, the one that Conrad booked earlier. I'm a bit concerned now that you're going to start, like sticking your hand up my skirt or, like, trying to unzip my jumpsuit or something. Trying to, like, suck the sweat off my mask or, like huff my boots. Because I know you've got a thing for feet. No judgment, but, like, leave mine alone. Very self-conscious in a wrestling ring. Jonathan.
Do I come across like I'm going to be untowards? Like, I've got a brewing sexual energy underneath the... People think that I'm, basically a Muppet, like a bald, middle-aged Muppet with no genitals. They think I'm as bland and asexual as can be. I was once compared to Steve Martin by a dominatrix. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember that story. She had no interest in me sexually at all. She said I was like a wild and crazy guy, just completely... completely boring sexually. And I was like, oh, fair enough.
Okay, Jonathan, you've twisted me arm. You can touch me up in our match. Yes. You can, like, grope, Copperfield, all of that. I think, you know, obviously we make it part of the match. Basically, if you just sort of, like, get me on all fours at one point, maybe get me in a hammerlock, use that to force me down to my knees, I'll get on all fours at that point. If you then just mount... no penetration, please. Family show. So just, like, grind up against me and we'll both just sort of go, special wrestling, special wrestling, special wrestling. It's just wrestling, everybody. Special wrestling. Now, Conrad, as the referee of this match, you've got a couple of options for officiating this kind of thing. Obviously, there's the classic move. Where you just sort of stand there with one hand on your hip and the other one sort of rubbing your emanating bulge. Another one I thought might be fun is you could maybe go into the audience and sort of, like, sit next to various, hopefully, like, people who have come on their own, people who might be a bit sort of socially weaker, and just sort of get very close to them and ask them with a hint of aggressive masculine malice whether they like what they're seeing. Like one of those sort of very aggressive drunk friends who you don't know that well, and they've gone to a strip club and they've started getting friendly in a way that suggests things might not stay friendly.
It's doing it for you.
Yes, there we are. And we're just in the background, you know, just special wrestling, special wrestling.
Because I got to tell you, this is...
special wrestling.
This is something, isn't it? Yeah, yeah. You seem to be enjoying it.
This is something. It doesn't tell you any. That leaves so much. So much to the menacing imagination of what you might mean by that.
So that's our special wrestling show. We'll call it, like, Wrestlevania.
And it's not clear if it's like Castlevania or if it's veins in the penis.
It's clear.
Oh, it's clear.
It's very clear. The logo alone has about 35 cocks.
Special wrestling. And it's dry humping too. It's just we're not even aroused. We're just going through those motions for the
we just like special for the wrestling.
Fans. Well, it's already been made clear. It's impossible to get aroused in the ring.
Yeah,
that's right. That's right. We're not going to fake it.
Yeah,
because it's real.
It's impossible to stay unaroused in Jonathan's ring, though.
What ring?
That's the dichotomy. That's what makes this show so compelling.
Attention,
isn't it, though?
You know, it's an unstoppable force and an immovable object meeting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, let me tell you something, brother. I want to get deep inside that ass ring, brother. I was telling Mean Gene, I've been seeing that Jonathan Holmes, brother. And I want to slam him like I slammed Andre the Giant, brother.
But sexually slam Hulkster?
In a very sensual way.
I can't believe you can talk immediately after doing that voice. You don't need a lemon and a tea with honey?
No.
Yeah,
no,
incredible.
I just need to watch a TV show called Jonathan's Love Connection.
No, you don't.
I do. I want to see you fuck a tub of chum for half an hour.
That's the love connection? Chum is fish meat, fish parts that aren't edible to the human mouth to feed sharks and whatnot. You want me to put my body with that stuff?
Yeah. Please?
Oh.
Okay, fine then.
You're somewhat surprised I said no to that one.
You
thought that was the one.
Sometimes yes. I have notes written down because these shows are few and far between, and I have lovely ideas. Because I think about you still, Jonathan, like most of the time, most of my day.
I'm squinting and shaking my head back and forth in a no motion because it's like, why? No, don't. Not good. I'm going to be 50 in 3 years. I'm really... It's all over for me, you know? I'm like Captain Steubing on Love Boat, for those who remember. Gavin McLeod, I believe the actor's name was. Not a young man, not a sexy man. A bald, smiling, father-like figure with zero sexual energy emanating from him. Just a total eunuch of energy, you know?
Yeah.
Completely chaste. To think about that man is not good, or there's nothing good for you. I'm worthless, is what I'm saying. Don't do it.
Holy shit.
I crossed the line.
you are so... We've talked about this before, but sometimes you put yourself down so much that I just think, holy fuck. Holy fuck, that's a broken man.
No, right? It's just, you know... Just call
He's got house, my yeah. inner monologue, except it's on the outside.
I'm not ashamed.
Like, can't even contain it.
Yeah, why not?
It's so bursting out.
Just let people know.
I can still bury my self-loathing, but you just sort of let it spill out ugly and oily.
Oh, well, I don't want it to be ugly. I don't want to make other people feel uncomfortable. It's just, you know, I'm unimpressed with myself at this stage in the game. I have fun. I'm a relatively nice person. Not causing too much harm, but I'm not worth a ton to the overall grand scheme. Just sort of a...
That's a shame.
Yeah?
Because I have a notes app on my phone, and it's full of things about you. Some of which I can't remember, like, the hows and whys of it. Like, it's interesting you said squinting earlier, because just written here is, fart into my eye, the farting into an eye story. I don't know what that means, Jonathan. What does that mean?
Oh, again, I have to bring it back to my own child who feels the same way about me that you do, but differently, because there's, of course, you know, it's purely father-son dynamic. But yeah. He gets obsessed with me and obsessed with torturing me, sort of, like mild torture. And he would definitely want to fart in my eye and see kid's... if it hits. He would want to know if the particles... of his fecal matter that are so tiny that they can pass through the pants and underwear could hit the eyeball. See, he would be laughing too at the exact same way.
Like those eye test machines at the opticians that blow the thing in. Just like that.
Did I send you the picture of his ass with pants on just coming towards my face while I was like trying to eat a piece of pizza or something?
This wonderful image of you trying to eat and this boy just shoving his butt in your face to ruin your life. That kid is my genuine heir. He is the one who will pick up the magnum and wave it about for me when I'm gone.
Of the cult. He's going to be the pacifist magnum person.
Sex muffler.
What?
That's another thing that was written down.
If we go 10 more years,
we might.
Jonathan's child could just join the show.
That's true.
He's genuinely taking this over. He gets the keys to the castle. My empire of shit. It's all going to little Rory.
Little Rory. He'll be... Oh, it's so weird to think his voice will be changed. He'll be 18. He might hate me. You know, I shouldn't presume his voice will change, actually. You know, sometimes...
But you should presume he'll hate
you. Yeah, that's... Yeah. It's going to come with the territory. And he wants to do YouTube videos and podcasts, and he wants to get in there already. And I'm hesitant to turn him into a child star in that way, because we see what happens to so many of them. But
he doesn't want to do that.
No. But once he's 18...
Look how you turned out.
I know. I was not on TV until I was 20, so I was, you know, borderline adult.
I mean, physically you might have been an adult, but we've seen that show, Jonathan.
I was not at my best, no. I tried. I was young, I tried.
You tried to be boyfriends with a pig. And you masturbated on set daily.
Neither of those are true. I loved the piglets in a pet way.
At one point, I was going to call you Dr. Peter Jism with a PhD in sucking dem nuts. Separate nut-based idea, washing one's nuts via the finger bowl method. Now, obviously, one night late, I'm guessing, I imagined you squatting over one of those little finger bowls that people have at fancy dinners and just sort of like just dipping them, like squatting and dipping and then just... Like that. It's just the elegant way to wash your nuts.
I've never had, never been so inclined. This just in. I just was getting a text from my spouse making sure that things were okay. Yeah. Everything's fine. But this just literally just in. Breaking news. Extras wanted. Walking Dead filming in Boston.
Whoa!
Should I go down there?
Walk the dead.
And become, I think, how do I sign up? Kendall Cooper Casting is seeking athletes or people with military backgrounds to play soldiers.
You're both those things.
And people with, quote, weathered faces, unquotes, to play.
I'm not going to say anything.
The survivors. Extras who are very thin and tall are wanted to play the famous Walker zombies, so that's not me. But I should be a weathered survivor, for sure.
If you don't do this, Jonathan, I will literally get a gun and I will shoot you. Metaphorically. I will literally do that metaphorically, Jonathan, so you better do it or I'll be sad.
I'll try my best. I love zombie movies. I'm someone who still... likes The Walking Dead, and it's more of a tongue-in-cheek way at this state in the show's existence, because it's been around for too long.
If you don't do it, you'll worsen my depression, and as a doctor of the brains, Jonathan, that's unethical, and that goes against your Hippocrates oath.
I think about that episode pretty regularly, because I've had to seek day job work in the mental health field. I got yet another day job. I forgot to tell you both this. I'll be working the graveyard shift at a place I can't disclose on the show, lest people try to track me down and cause trouble potentially. But yeah, I'm going to get paid more, but now I'm going to have to work 10 p.m. to 8 a.m. and I'm going to be very tired and confused a lot of the time. But it is, as you know, most graveyard shifts, unless you're working in the actual graveyard, it usually involves some care component. So I'm going to be caring for people, and I'm going to be working sometimes with brain doctors.
And of course, under cover of night, more discreet, you can get up to a lot more.
I'm not going to... You mean like grave robbing and stuff like that?
I mean, I never said grave robbing, but, you know... I was going to start at some like light prowling.
Yeah, mischief, yeah, maybe?
Yeah, like comic mischief. Move on to, you know...
But you just went right to grave robbing.
I wondered what you meant.
You didn't even start with getting the wedding rings off. You went straight for the whole cadaver.
Well, the reason is, you had mentioned Willem Dafoe earlier, and I started watching his latest movie, Poor Things, where he plays... someone who likes grave robbing. I don't want to spoil it, but that's part of his character is dead bodies. And it's introduced almost immediately. This second scene, I think, in the movie, he's just like, here I am with a dead body. What do you think, everybody? Should I give it a little poke? What's inside? You know, like, it's not like you find that out at the end. It's not a twist. It's basically how the character's first introduced. So I've got Dafoe on the brain, and I'm scared still about what your idea is going to be.
Well, let's get that out of the way.
Should we?
Because I'll be honest with you.
Yeah.
I've not read it back since I wrote this down, and I'm starting to worry that it is not good enough. So let's just go for it.
Yeah, there's only one way to find out.
Picture the scene. It's a beach. In the morning. Not... sunny morning, like we're talking like one of those cold springs where it's like gray mm-hmm. and a bit bleak, a bit of a wind up. The camera pans across sort of the shoreline and we find that a dead dog has washed up on it. It's bad, Jonathan. It is an absolute write-off. Whatever it died of, it sucked. This thing is broken and it is disgusting.
Oh.
Like, it's important. Like, I can't emphasize enough what a disaster this corpse is. Between what you'd call a corpse and a carcass.
Wow.
Somehow there's a difference. And you know what I mean.
I do.
It's slap bang in the middle of that. Corpse and carcass.
Like, for me, the difference is when I see a carcass, I'm like, is that edible or is that just something that needs to be buried? A corpse, I feel empathy towards. So,
yeah,
I feel bad when I see this dead dog, is what you're saying.
Yeah, I think moisture comes into play as well a lot. Also, many aspects of this dog are best described as jutting.
It's awful. This sounds really gross and sad.
Brendan Fraser's looking at it, hands in his pockets, and he says, Doug, dead dog, beautiful dead dog. I want to eat it. He looks at the camera very slowly. His head just sort of turns very slowly to look. Big smile grows on his face and he goes, but I'm wily, see? I'm going to let it cure in the tide first. And then he leaves. Arms swinging, chest puffed out. He is proud. He's eating well tonight. Oh, he seems to think so. Cut to Willem Dafoe. Literally smacking his chops as he peers from a bush in the middle of the beach. It's always glad tidings when the ocean sicks up a disaster. Oh boy, there's so much I could do with a dead dog. Eat it. Regard it. Align with it. Take it for a new pet or lover. Gee! The dog, Jonathan, is a fucking wreck. The head alone looks both desiccated and soupy at once. You almost certainly wouldn't get what's left of it home in one piece. Probably need a bag. To perform taxidermy on it to perform taxidermy on it would create a dog of Theseus. Its body looks like hairy ramen was poured over a dog's ribs. This dog is fucking shit. That's some fine looking ocean throw up. But I'm Wily C. That fucking asshole didn't tag it. Everybody knows if you're leaving sea trash to cure in the tidal foam, you gotta slap a claim tag on it first. Which he does, and the conflict arises, and that is sort of the crux of the film.
The claim tag?
We've got, on one hand, a real. So this is a real clash of ideologies. On one hand, we've got Brendan Fraser. He saw it first. He's claimed finders keepers, first dibs. Willem Dafoe doesn't really sort of believe in that honor system, which a lot of people have relaxed their sort of rules on this. But it gets into a whole sort of like discussion on local bylaws regarding ocean throw up, all that kind of stuff. At one point, of course, they get into a long argument about whether it's rabbit season or duck season. You know, they're just pushing a shotgun on each other, just going, "It's rabbit season! Now it's duck season!" Like that. You know, Willem Dafoe gets his beak shot and it goes around his head, and we all laugh. It does get out of control, though. Like, they bring in ombudsmen, officials. At one point, they call the Pope, but they can't get the Pope. At the end, the conflict resolves, however, when a second dog washes up. And don't worry, it's just as much a violation of decency as the last. This time, Fraser slaps a tag on it, and they laugh. The camera pans to the new dog, the more larval parts of which are writhing with such life as to parody its vessel. Its fur, rusted with blood, flaps in clumps as the breeze adds further mockery. Its belly ruptures as a crab scuttles out of the wound, a gaping finale to the imagery we're going for here. Like, this is some, like, Jonathan, I don't know if you could tell, but, like, at this point we're doing some deep shit about the cycle of birth and death, about how we whirl in a pool in an ocean of time, within which we're trapped until the violence of the waters breaks us too. Shatters us, Jonathan, to pieces. Wow. Like those forsaken canine bastards. That we may die in the depths and rot in a coastal shit show of ocean throw up. Also, there's a load of seagull shit on it. I think by this point, Jonathan, I will be hailed as the thinking moron's Lars von Trier. As the credits roll. Beginning with the title of the film, which I call Plague Dogs 2.
Oh, man, if you know, you know. If you've seen Plague Dogs 1, you know that this is actually the perfect sequel to the original Plague Dogs. That's what happened. And for those who don't know, Plague Dogs, a British animated movie, we've talked about it on the show before. Just two dogs being like, "Hey, I feel sick. It's okay, Dodger. We might make it." And then they just swim.
They swim in the ocean.
Yeah, at the end. And you know there's no way they're ever going to get to solid ground before they drown. And this is what happened. Now you know. I feel worse and better at the same time. It's perfect.
Sense of closure.
Yeah, terrible closure.
People get to have fun at the Looney Tunes style slapstick comedy that they're watching on screen, but they also feel like, well, I finally can stop thinking about Plague Dogs.
No, I can't. Now I've got to think about the thinking morons for a long time.
Tell you what, as I got to the end of that, I'd had a complete turnaround in my opinion, and I do believe that's one of the greatest things I've ever written.
Oh, it's very good. Yeah, it's very good. I'd love for, you know, if somebody wants to make a name for themselves, adapt that for a YouTube short film, and you will make... It wouldn't be the first time that somebody adapted something you said on the show and ended up getting millions of views out of it. Didn't some Facebook group...
It was one of those lad... Was it Unilad? One of these laddie Facebook groups. So, oh yeah, what top blokes, laddies, hey, up your lads. Yeah, they took the... when I did a song for you on a podcast many years ago, I did Scatman, but with a very sort of mournful...
with Bane.
Here a Scatman. Like that. And then someone added that over the clip of Bane in the football stadium at in The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah, one of our adoring and adorable fans, someone who likes us legitimately, took that and made a great video out of it. Then somebody stole their video.
Then one of those big Facebook groups stole it. It got 4 million views. I got angry about it and was like, fucking credit people for that. Like, credit the people who made the video. Credit the people who did, like, the podcast and that. They only credited the YouTube uploader to get to me. Passive-aggressive fuckers.
You know, though, fair play to them.
Yeah, I'm glad someone got credited in some way. Right? It's better than I expected, actually.
But now, any bar in Leeds, I just have to go up to the tender and just be like, and they're like, oh, you're that Bane shit. Right. Drinks on us all night long. So, you know, I've still got it.
Yeah, you've still got it, that's for sure. There's one thing this episode has proven to me, is that you've still got it.
Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome.
That's right. See, that's that love bombing that they tell you about God. With the cults.
I must admit, I do sort of every now felt kind of emotionally dependent on him.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Me?
Yeah.
I'm very bad at giving you what you need then, because we record this show like every month or two. It's not... And I feel badly about it. It's been rough on my end to just get through life.
I'm sorry, Jonathan.
Oh, that's okay.
I know if I hadn't ever come up with this podcast in the first place, you wouldn't feel bad about not doing it. I'm sorry, Jonathan.
I'm so happy to get to do it. Conrad asked me last week, and last week was a horror show, but it all got done. It's accomplished, and I'm done with that stuff. Still stuff to do, like almost immediately after we're done recording today. But I did have this pocket in time to return to this place where things are good and bad, or things are so bad they're good. So I feel great.
Well, I'm glad you had that pocket in time. I just wish I had more time in your pocket.
I feel like that could have been a song sung by Patrick Swayze back in the Roadhouse
era.
That'd
be nice, wouldn't
it? Yeah, the pretty, not Pretty in Pink, the other one, Dirty Dancing.
Yeah.
He sang about having
the time. I'd like
to
dance dirtily until I'm pretty in your pink, Jonathan.
My pink?
Yeah, your pink.
Probably brown. I don't know if I have a pink. I guess my mouth has red tints on the lips. I'm sort of a red-lipped man. But not any other hole. The rest are beige or brown, for certain.
You, me, a bag of candy floss. Oh, Jonathan.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah,
So we're dating now, yeah. Is that what... What you were saying at the beginning of the show is that you and I are officially dating. It doesn't have to be sexual. I'm 40 now.
You are a dating person. You are a lover and are loved, as you should be. I am not. I'm just not a dater. I don't know what if you're not being sexual with the dating, what is it even? Then it's just like family. And Steph, you're certainly, both of you are family to me.
Did you just say that relationships aren't valid unless you're fucking?
No.
Yeah, that's what I got.
No, I don't know. You are, of course...
Is this some sort of weird self-loathing ace phobia that you've decided to suddenly bust out on us?
I don't think so. I just honestly don't know if you're not... if you're not romantic or sexual, it's not a relationship then in that way, right? It's a loving family relationship?
It's a complex world.
I don't understand it.
In a broad church/spectrum, Jonathan Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, like, what about companionship and emotional support?
Well, in that way, things like you are my family, you two. I would, you know, if you either of you ever said to me...
Oh, thank you so much, Jonathan Holmes. I'm so delighted that you said that you two were family after all these years.
I don't mean to say that. I thought it was a given.
That's me. Bono Vox out of the YouTube. Out of the YouTube. I'm here with the Edge.
Sup.
All right, bye.
Bono Vox of the U2 and the Edge are less family to me.
Fuck you too, then. Second prick.
Yeah, you'll fuck off then.
What's the problem with you, Jonathan? Over the years, I've come on this show and you have been such a rude little shit. Back off, back to obscurity where you belong, you fucking
I just
prick.
Said less than, I don't even, it's been, you haven't been on the show for like 5 years. It's not, we're not, we don't talk very often. It's not a personal thing, it's just
and whose fault is that? It's not like you don't have our numbers.
Yeah. To right, Edge. Only found out today that he's been allowed to date other people. Didn't give me a call.
I don't want to date anyone. I don't. Not a dating man. Just want to be left alone. Just want to be okay out there.
All right, what's the feckin' point here then? Bye! Bye, Bono. That was Bono Vox from U2, everyone.
Yeah, it was a surprise. I was trying to place the don't tell him I said this, he'll be very insulted. When I first heard the voice, I was like, I know that voice. Who is that? And it was Bono Vox.
Yeah, sounded just like him.
Of the U2. Who's got a new song. I don't know if we talked about it already, but it...
No, I didn't know that.
Yeah, I heard it on the radio. I'd never heard anything less inspired in my life. He's like, in the do and the da and the blah, blah, blah. Yeah, going to Asteroid City. Like the Wes Anderson movie. Just like you didn't... He just flipped through the channels and jotted down notes about stuff that was on cable that day. And literally sings, and the blah, blah, blah. Just couldn't summon up words. Just literally filled in the space in the song with blah, blah, blah in order to get through it. Just no creative soul left. Just a husk. Bono the husk is what's
this
going on.
This sounds like it should be our anthem.
And the blah, blah, blah should be our... Or just
the
whole
blah,
song.
Blah, blah, blah. No, all of it. Like, just as you mentioned, just tired, done, shriveled husks.
I don't know. You filled me with life today. I knew where
Bursting
you would
Bursting with new life.
Yeah, you're full of life, and I feel inspired. I feel happy and ready for life now.
I mean... Okay, prepare yourself to receive my life.
I want that to be in a legitimate pornographic movie or video, as they call them today, where that gets 20 million views, where the inserter of the genitals says, okay, prepare to receive my life. You know, just like just so sunshiny.
I'm sure I can find it. I'm sure I can find it. It's out there.
There's a lot of pornography out there.
Hearing it come from someone else's mouth makes me cringe. Oh. It's a horrible thing to hear. Imagine a man saying that as he's about to blow his beans up you. And I've just said, blow your beans.
You know, if you're of like mind, if you're both having a semi-satirical experience with the sexual...
Do you
engagement.
Want to have parody sex tonight, darling?
Yeah, why not? You know, we gotta live, laugh, and love like the
stick it to each
say.
Other while you stick it to the man.
Making fun of yourself is very attractive, in my opinion.
Having a laugh during sex is one of the nicer things in life, I think.
I couldn't agree more. It's a real intimate moment. And on that note... I feel like it was a semi-sexually charged episode with laughs.
I mean, I had a semi through most of it.
Why? A semi. Yeah.
Yeah. Dear. Only joking. I don't get those no more.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, these days it really is just like, it's all or nothing.
Oh, yeah. I think that's better in some ways. There's no, yeah. Like, will they, won't they with your own...
Like, genuinely better. Like, you know, it's one of those hormone things where you're just like, your approach is different and more convenient. The more, like, male-coded, mask-coded shit you take out of the sexual process, the easier your life gets.
Mmm. Yeah.
And don't worry, a lot of you cis men, you're gonna get there too as you get older, so don't worry. It gets better for you.
It's true.
That's nice. Yeah. I'd like things to get better. I'd like things to get less semi. You're either all the way in or all the way out. Those moments when you're not sure which way it's gonna go are the least comfortable, in my opinion. So good to know.
Good to know. Good to know. Stops accidents.
I want you to do a PSA on this. Just mm-hmm. a close-up on someone with a penis wearing their drawers, and a close-up of, age 20, the little stain there, accidents, and then, flash forward, age 60, stops accidents. You know, it's something to look forward to.
Yeah.
Why would you agree with that? It's the only place I can go where the response to that will be meh, like nowhere else is
once
that
once again illustrating the awesome power and influence of your words,
your magnetism.
It's just the bar is so low here. Like everywhere else I go in life, I have to feign some level of normalcy. Here I'm not the one with the most wild ideas ever. I'm the tame one a lot of the time.
Oh, that is a lie, and you know
that
it.
That is nonsense.
Really?
When you get going, you are a major league fuck freak.
Thank you. Thank you, I suppose. It's been a while since I've had the extra energy to get going in any sort of way, so I appreciate that. Hopefully after this graveyard shift job starts, I'll somehow have more energy after that.
My hope is that, like, you in, at, 3 a.m. with nothing to do in a night shift, and your mind starts wandering, and you'll start having those intrusive thoughts that horrify you but entertain us.
Yes.
That you come here and tell us about the ideas you don't want to have.
I'll do my best to jot them down while I'm in that half state of sleep and wake, in between worlds, unsure of what's real and what's not. I'll see if I can take some notes.
Yeah, and try and flesh them out, because I don't know, you were so fucking vague on that washing your nuts in the finger bowl thing. Like, step it up, sex muffler.
A sex muffler dampens the sounds of sex.
Yeah,
I'm going around quieting the sex sounds is what I'm doing.
Let's maybe you people are fucking, they don't want to be heard, they hire you to come around and you just sort of drape over them like a weighted blanket. Or you get between them, one of them sticks it in your mouth, one of them sticks it in your ass.
Oh no.
Yeah, they'll both need penetrative implements for it, but you can act as the dampener in the middle.
Wait, so they're having sex with each other?
Absorbing the sounds of their fuck into you.
So I'm like a Chinese finger prison muffler of the coitus. But they're really interested in each other. I'm just there to make it quiet. I think my family has returned home. I should probably stop recording relatively soon, lest they hear any. He's 8, and he would love all of this, that he would understand. But I don't want to expose him to it quite yet.
No,
if I can help it.
No.
He started swearing, though. The other kids at school
taught
him swearing. And he only knows swears in the context of what he's seen in, brief clips of movies and TV shows or something. So he thinks the only time you say shit is when you put your head in your hands and go, oh, shit. Like, life is so bad. So he's trying to sound cool and adult. And he's in the back of the car. And he's like, Dad. Check this out. I learned a bad word. I'm so cool. I'm just like the YouTubers. I'm like, oh no. What's the word? Oh shit. Just so miserable. Like he just got fired. Is all he knows.
I love him.
How to say that word. Yeah, he's adorable.
I love that you're the kind of, as a father, the authority you command is, I can't wait to get home and tell Dad these swears I learned.
He loves it. Yeah. And I tell him, don't say, I'm not going to judge you, but don't say those in front of other people. They're going to think you're like a mean kid or a bad kid. People are very judgmental out there. I just don't want him to get judged. But all he knows, oh, he's sneaking in. He's looking at me right now. Do you want to say it into the microphone? Just say into the microphone the SH word, how you say it.
Oh, shit.
Don't say that in front of anyone else in the world, though. Just me.
Only in front of us. Yeah.
He's already run away. But I better.
Dad and your weird uncle and aunt who like gather around with cigarettes and they're like, say your dirty words, kid. Entertain your auntie Steph.
Oh my god. That's my life.
Yep.
Amazing.
So just for the final bit of evidence for the court case, for the jury who have been listening, you just heard what he did. Case closed.
It's not that bad. You say the swears anyway. I certainly didn't teach them to.
They're just going to do it anyway.
Yeah, I guess so. I guess I'm going to jail. That's
for a long time.
Oh, that's that, yeah.
You'll be out in time for the next Foster's Favorite Sunday.
I hope so. Oh, wait, then I'll just end up incarcerated again, I guess. It's just the cause of my problems.
Well, they do say it's a revolving door system.
They do.
That is true. That is true. Mate, over 10 years recording and we never got you fired. Right, that is, of all the things I've accomplished in my career, I am most proud of that.
Not yet.
I never
yeah.
got Jonathan fired.
And graveyard shift, I'm going to be lower profile and somehow getting paid even better than before.
Yeah, I mean,
so hopefully I'll be
keeping your head down. I know that that's always been a bit of a bonus for you.
That's my goal. Yeah. Don't want anyone to know.
Yeah. No one sniffing around.
You're not crying, are you?
Oh, no.
Oh, guys. Phew. Oh, there's the dog going. Yeah, I better wrap it up. Noisy
wrapped.
Family.
Jonathan, I love you.
I love you too, Steph. I love you too, Conrad.
I love you, Jonathan, and Steph.
And you, Conrad.
Oh, thanks.
Oh, shit.